All right, thinking of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul gave us 9 gifts, and then he has a little break in between, then he gives us 8 more gifts there at the end of chapter 12. We've kind of been working our way through the gifts. I think we're on 6. I think we've covered 5 of them so far. So we looked at the utterance of wisdom and knowledge. We've looked at faith. We looked at healing. Last week we talked about miracles and had a good discussion on that. If you weren't here, I forgot to upload it last Sunday. So last night I remembered and uploaded it. So it's online now. You can listen to it. But our discussion on miracles. So prophecy and discernment of spirits. I think these two kind of go together. Most commentators would list them together or in conjunction with each other. So what are your thoughts on that? That would be in, let's see, chapter 12 and verse 10. It's after the working of miracles. Then he says, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, right? All right, so we have the prophecy and the ability to distinguish between the spirits there. So what are your thoughts behind prophecy and the discernment or distinguishing between spirits? Anybody do any research on that this week or any thoughts?
Well, to me it's just interesting that it's listed as a spiritual gift and we're all supposed to be discerning.
Okay.
According to Peter and Jude.
Yeah. So there's got to be something slightly different about it. Because, yes, we are to be able to discern between truth and error or truth and falsehood. When we think of prophecy, what do we normally think of?
Predictions.
What? All right, predictions. All right. Clit? Okay, same thing. All right. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we're normally thinking Old Testament and these, you know, you read Isaiah, Jeremiah, and, you know, all these, the Old Testament prophets, and you're thinking, man, these guys were weird, right? You know, supposed to go lay down and on my right side for, you know, so many days and can't move. And, you know, Hosea, you know, he's, you know, his wife commits adultery and goes into prostitution, and then he has to go buy her back and remarry her, and you're going, holy, like, man, like, these guys have rough lives. You know, everybody hates them. Nobody, you know, they're getting thrown in pits and ditches and whatever, you know, because they're proclaiming God's truth. But let's, you know, what was the overarching theme for the Old Testament prophets, or what was their, what was a lot of what God used them to try to show the Israelites?
They were sinning.
All right, that they were sinning. Chris?
Or the incarnation of Christ and the Messiah is coming.
All right, to some degree, yeah. I mean, I think the overarching really theme of most of them that is included in there, but as John said, just, you know, their sin, you know, the, how they had left God, you know, the whole story of Hosea, it's just a picture of Israel, you know, where they, you know, they were to be married to God, they were his bride, and yet they committed adultery. You know, they prostituted themselves over and over and over again, serving all these different idols. And Hosea was just basically living out a life, showing them in real, you know, time, this is how God sees you. You know, this is what you've done to, you know, your husband, your king, kind of idea. All right, so, you know, normally when we think of prophecy or prophets, you know, our mind goes there. But where else can, or what else can prophecy include?
It's just somebody talking on behalf of God.
All right.
So, and this time, if you got the scripture and you can explain it to somebody, you are talking on behalf of God.
All right, so someone proclaiming God's truth. All right, agree, disagree, something slightly different.
So it's like evangelism.
All right. Okay. Troy?
So the prophecy, Paul says it's for the good of the church. Yeah. So it brings that word in that speaking for God, a friend of God to the church, to the believers.
Uh-huh. All right.
We're also warned in the New Testament about false prophets. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be discerning,
yes,
of what we hear and those who claim to be prophets. Kind of a growing movement right now, but it's nothing new, that people claim to have new revelations from God.
Right.
So we have to be very careful about that. I think prophecy, the way I see it, of course, I think about the Old Testament prophets who have heard directly from God and wrote and said what God told them to speak and to write. But as I understand it, we have the revealed Word of God now, the wholeness of the Scriptures. And so, and it says that we're not supposed to add or take away anything from that. So, I am usually just a little bit skeptical when I hear somebody who claims to be a prophet in these times. But obviously, it was listed as a spiritual gift, so I'd like to hear what you think
about that. It's interesting you mentioned earlier about prophecy and discernment of spirits going together. And I was thinking of the spiritual gift of discernment of spirits above and beyond our spiritual duty to be discerning. But what good is it for you to be able to have that gift and not be able to proclaim it to others?
Okay.
It would seem like that would be a part of it going together.
Right. Yeah. Chris?
Well, years ago I was involved in a church that was more of a Pentecostal-based church. And they had several people over 4 or 5 years that came in and proclaimed to be prophets. And as years went by, I remember looking at Old Testament prophets. When they prophesied, they were specific about what they were prophesying about. Everything I ever heard these other prophets speak of was vague and had no detail. And it's like, if you're a prophet, why can't you give specifics?
Right.
And so it makes you see that that's probably false prophecy, and they're just putting a bad light on Christianity because they're not working within something. They're just trying to give
yourself
a title.
Okay. So in the Old Testament, how did people know if a prophet was true?
It came true.
Okay, what he said came true.
It came true.
So how could we, now we move forward to the 21st century, how do we know if someone who is claiming to prophesy, if their words are true? All right, does it line up with Scripture?
Right.
All right, yes. All right, good. No, that's fine. I'm glad you're all on the same page.
But we're in a time now in human civilization, human history, where it's harder to know what's being put out is true. I mean, obviously, we see it with our eyes or hear it with our ears. But it's, with new AI coming out, it's going to be hard even for believers to know what's being out there being told is true, because the lies are just so amazing and so demonic.
Yes.
And I don't think we even know what we're up against yet. Seeing it in its full force, but these times coming are going to be rough.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Jesus said there would be so much deception in the
evil. Yeah. I mean, I was listening to a podcast the other day on the AI, and it was just like, things they were discussing and where things have progressed now, and they're like, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, there's plans to go so much farther with it.
And we could take the voice of built up Franklin Graham, for instance, and put out words that mm-hmm. were non-scriptural, non-biblical, that he didn't say,
right?
But it's in his voice.
Yeah, with his image and everything else. Yeah, yeah.
He gives a video of it.
Right.
If we look at the old, like you were saying, the Old Testament prophet, like 90% of the time they are prophesying to Israel as mm-hmm. a whole. They're not prophesying to a person telling you, you're going to have a new job next year.
Right.
You're going to have this and this other. So most of the time they are prophesying to Israel because of the coming of the Messiah, because they are turning away from God and not following the law. And God will tell them, this is what's going to happen from now on, and you're going to, and condemnation is going to come. But then I'm going to redeem you again. And if you see in the New Testament, that start fading. You don't see Peter, Paul prophesying or giving you any word of wisdom. So if the word of God is complete and we have the whole word of God, if we have a new prophet and he says something, then we'll have to add to the Bible another book.
Yeah. Right.
So in my case, I don't believe there is evidence enough so we can have prophets in this day and age.
Okay. All right. I see where you're going with that.
And I believe that some of these people, these false prophets, and they've already done it, you know, they're going to try to change the Word of God, and they're going to put out Bibles that either online or in book form. You know, online will be a lot easier. They probably already done it. To change the word of God so that, you know, that it takes you away from the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And so my advice would be just get old copies of the Bibles, you know, in your hand. I've heard someone when I was looking at Bible translations in the past, they said anything with the word new in front of it, you probably need to stay away from. But I don't know how true that is. This is one pastor's view.
Well, there's a New King James. I wouldn't stay. I mean, that's a really good translation, but I understand where he's going with that. Troy, you had something?
I just was going to reiterate what Chris was saying about clarity, and that Paul is telling that between the tongues and the prophecy, you know, that both of them involve some type of communication. So I mean, it's in line with what we're speaking about here, but to desire the prophecy over tongues, because he'd rather have four words that are clear versus 10
right.
in another language, right?
Right.
And then just coming back to the, you know, concerns about AI is that they're only as good as what the people that programmed it.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that program it, they don't know God.
Right.
So once again, if they don't know God, you should be able to pick that out no matter what.
Yeah.
As long as you're discerning, right?
Yes.
As long as you're in the Word and the line. So.
Yeah. And that was one of the, on the podcast I was listening to, one of the things they brought up was, you know, they asked the AI bot or whatever, you know, like to make a joke about Jesus, and they did. You know, they came out with some joke or whatever, and then they said, you know, make a joke about Allah. And the response was, you know, that might be offensive. Are you sure you want me to do that? Would you like to rephrase? And they wouldn't, it would not go there. And like, you know, they kept rephrasing and trying to re-give the qualifications, and it would not, you know, make fun of Allah.
So I've tried that with ChatGPT and will not do it.
Yeah.
Some of the presuppositional apologetics folks are already starting to go towards that end and questioning these AI bots to get it to run. And they'll get the bot into a problem where the bot will not be able to answer. So the presupposition, knowing your stuff, presuppositional meaning that knowledge starts with God.
Yeah.
This is God's word. It's working against that stuff.
Right. Yeah. This is, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I think there's still the need for prophets in the New Covenant age. There's a reason why the Bible put it in 1 Corinthians and also in Ephesians that God gave prophets. But I think there's a difference between the prophet in the Old Testament and the prophet in the New Testament.
Right.
The prophet in the New Testament are given to the church. And if we read in 1 Corinthians 14, to strengthen the mm-hmm. church, to build up one another. And also the prophet will speak the mind of God according to the word of God. And they can discern the spirit. a prophet will be able to, that's why, you know, it's important to put both of them together.
Yeah.
They can discern if there are few people in the church who have foul spirit. A prophet can be able to discern and also speak the mind of God about somebody without even knowing anything about that person. That's a prophet. And because it has the word of wisdom, it has the spirit of God and can discern and just speak the word of God and affecting somebody in the congregation that did not even know anything about the person. But I think it's also very important. And then, on the other hand, God also encourages everybody to desire the gift of prophecy. You know, later there's one disciple who had, you know, two daughters or four daughters. They all prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a Philip. Yeah, Philip had daughters that prophesied.
Okay.
You know, so that's a gift. And God wants us to also have that for the purpose of 1 Corinthians 14, to encourage one another. You know, and for example, when you talk about mothers that have been, you know, mothers for the past 17 years, they can have, you know, a word of encouragement from the scripture to encourage somebody, new mothers, you know, and they can see, wow, this is, you're speaking from the word of God to encourage, you know, that mother, that young mother. It also, yeah, is a prophecy.
Right.
You know, you're prophesying. So I think there's an office of a prophet who speaks the mind of God at all times in the church. And also, for believers, we should desire the gift of prophecy where we can encourage one another through the word of God. And that's why I agree with everybody. There's no new revelation.
Right.
It's still the word of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the good news is there's no consensus on this. So there's, you know, several different views. So we got a couple minutes here. I let you out early last week, so I'll hold you a couple minutes this week. The New American Commentary, and they did a great job of just pulling out some very popular commentators or theologians. So, you know, defining the prophecy in tongues, and we're going to talk about tongues later, but has turned out to be, you know, quite the challenge. In scholarship, Wayne Grudem, it says Grudem, but Wayne Grudem thinks that Paul defines prophecy rather broadly. I'm trying to read off the screen in the back, but that its function could include any kind of speech activity that would be helpful to the hearers. All right, so then another gentleman, Fee, asserts that Paul's description of prophecy indicates spontaneous, spirit-inspired, intelligible messages orally delivered in the gathered assembly intended for the edification or encouragement of the people. All right, so some of you mentioned that. And then another guy, Thistleton, questions, however, whether or not all manifestations of prophecy reflect the pattern, and submits that prophecy does not necessarily exclude teaching and doctrine. Prophecy, in Thistleton's view, is the near equivalent of pastoral preaching. All right, so we heard that as well. So some of you, you know, we've kind of, I'm just trying to get you to see that you're, you know, everything you all have said today has really fit within the different parameters here. So after a lengthy survey of opinions, he defines prophecy as a gift of the Spirit that combines pastoral insight into the needs of persons, communities, and situations with the ability to address these with a God-given utterance or longer discourse, whether unprompted or prepared, with judgment, decision, and rational reflection, leading to challenge or comfort, judgment or consolation, but ultimately building up the addressees. All right, I like that. All right, I really like that definition there in blue. All right, Schreiner defines prophecy more simply as communicating revelations from God in a spontaneous utterance. So he goes more to it's spontaneous as opposed to it is can be spontaneous or it can be prepared ahead of time. All right, so Schreiner limits it a little bit more than Thistleton does. All right, so then commentators often note the spontaneous nature of prophecy based on Paul's description in chapter 14 that Ade mentioned. Schreiner stresses the revelatory nature of the gift as well in light of chapter 14. A few examples in Acts where Luke reports that the prophets receive spontaneous revelations from God, Acts 11, 13, 21. Against Grudem, Schreiner contends the New Testament prophets, like the apostles, spoke the word accurately without error. Similarly, Ciampa and Rosner comment at the very end of chapter 14, Paul seems to indicate that the argument he has just completed is to be understood as a prophetic message carrying the authority of Christ himself, that such an understanding will be confirmed by any true prophets that the Corinthians have in their midst. Paul claims that what he writes is the Lord's command. And then in the end, defining the nature of prophecy and tongues in conjunction with that, it's not Paul's primary task, rather his concerns for the edification of the church, which is the purpose of all the gifts. So, you know, what's our takeaway? Our takeaway is Paul's, and we said this last week, you know, Paul's not trying to give us a specific definition for all these things. You know, his concern is using them for the unity and the exhortation and the edification of the church, not, you know, who has what and all of that kind of idea. So, you know, what is prophecy? I think it involves all that we just that we discussed this morning. You know, I think there's different aspects of it that would fall in each of those areas. I think sometimes, you know, someone can ask and you can, you know, just, you know, have something to say to someone that is spontaneous, but it's led by the Spirit, you know, it's a pointed message to them. But I also feel like when a pastor, teacher stands up in a congregation, I think that in many regards, as he's explaining and teaching the Word of God, proclaiming God's Word, that too is prophetical. You know, because we are proclaiming God's word. And we'll see in the eight gifts at the end of the chapter, you know, we see teachers. And I would say there's maybe a very fine line between the two, where one's more exhortational, proclaiming God's word, where teaching is really explaining and teaching and getting into God's word. So kind of study those out. And as we go through these, you know, we'll look at them more in depth as well. All righty, let's pray. Father, thank you for the time together. Thank you for the discussion and the input. Thank you for your word and for giving each of us the ability to read it, to discern it, and to be able to explain it, interpret it. And thank you for the Holy Spirit and his work in our lives. And thank you in your name. Amen.